Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's my honest privilege this evening to be here. My spirit is overwhelmed.
Ojo to dabu eno Bohemini Akwata kibiti Ene to dabu eno Ojo to dabu eno Bohemini Akwata kibiti Ene to dabu eno Ojo do dabo eno Akwata kibiti
Father, we love you. Father, we honor you. And even tonight again we ask that you do us good. Bless us with your presence. Show yourself strong in our midst. And take all the glory. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Please sit down. Please sit down. Sit down. Tonight I will just attempt to establish the coordinates for the meeting. At least for the blocks that I'll be laying. I know many have come to labor already. And then tomorrow morning we'll add some more blocks. The last night will be a night of power. We trust God to do mighty things. He said, the thief cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. You know, if you don't have an understanding of the agenda of your enemy, you will take him for granted. And when you take your enemy for granted or undermine your enemy, you are already disadvantaged in the battle. Because what is required for you to walk and to keep your victory, you may not be willing to pay the price because you underrated your enemy. When we walk through time, because we don't understand the nature of this realm, it's possible for us to trivialize everything happening around us and to consider them to be mere circumstances. And sometimes we even take a departure too far from purpose that we begin to live for pleasure, because we are not aware that everything happening around us was set up either to make us or to destroy us. So when Jesus made an appearance, He began to educate us to understand the plane and the realm that we find ourselves in. And before Jesus began to speak about himself, he needed to explain to us that he was not the only authority in the realm. So he began to educate us about a contrary force that has a very definite agenda. And in order to give us more light, he decided to break it into a threefold agenda. And he said, the devil cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He said, but I am come that you may have life, and life to the full. You know, when Moses was granted access to before time, he began to explain to us the nature of the realm that we live in. You know, when you are a child, and you look at the firmament, naturally you will marvel at it. But you see, because you don't begin to live purposefully as a little boy, you grow up and you become used to the environment. So the awe with which you interact with the environment is lost over time, and you get used to your environment. But if you were to appear in the world as a full-grown man, and you look at the structure of the universe, you will faint in amazement. But because you grew up with it, you now trivialize it. So we don't understand that this realm is guarded by forces, by entities, and by powers. So I want to talk to us briefly about the necessity of power in advancing divine agenda. Because if we don't understand, first of all, that there are contrary forces trying to rule this realm, and there is a contention between spirits, first for ownership, and secondly for prevailing dominion over the realm, we will not understand the strategic role we have come to play. And we will not know that life in itself is expressed, lived, and manifested by power. When you succeed or fail, you only drifted into different tributaries of power. So there is nothing like success or failure. What you call success is actually making progress in the direction of positive power. And what you call failure is making progress in the direction of negative power. But if you don't understand that spirits rule this realm, you will think what is happening in your life is a coincidence. It's not so. There are entities trying to rule this world. And you are found in the middle of what is happening. So you need to first of all understand the entities that are in the realm, and then know how to align with the right entity in order to make headway in this window of time that is given to you. So in the beginning, when Moses entered into Zion, he said, God created the heavens and the earth. And he came back to this same scripture that Jesus was talking about in John chapter 10. And he said, and the earth was void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the earth was void. The same way the devil cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Now, before man ever was created, before the project of man, before God embarked on the project of man, this contention was going on. So the devil doesn't come to kill, to steal, and to destroy because man came. That has always been his agenda. So even if men were not on the face of the earth, whatever is found on the face of the earth, the agenda of the devil remains to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So he said the earth was void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. The word is tohu bohu. It means emptiness, nothingness, and absolute destruction. So darkness and destruction is actually the civilization of the devil. The realm of the devil, the reality of the devil is governed by death. So everything that proceeds from devil, we only manifest in the form of darkness. It will manifest in the form of destruction and waste. So when you see waste, it's a testimony that the government of the devil is at work. So destruction and death is actually a manifestation of demonic power. And when God showed up, you know, it's interesting to know that the first revelation of God that was given to mankind was not a revelation of his love. The first revelation of God that was given to mankind was not even the revelation of his holiness. The first revelation of God that was given to mankind was the revelation of his power. And I will tell you why it is so. Because when he said in the beginning God, the word God is the word Elohim. And the word Elohim is a strange word. First, it means almighty. So what it reveals to us is that there are entities already in creation that have might. But this being that we have been introduced to as mortals is one that has all might. So he was called Almighty. So the first revelation of God that scriptures opens up to is the revelation of his power. And the reason is because without the power of God, the government of God can never find expression. Remember, darkness is a manifestation of the government of the devil. So the only way the government of God can find expression is when a dimension of his power finds expression. Because what brings the government of God to bear is the dimension of his power. And that is why he was introduced as the Almighty, the God of power. Because something had happened in the earth. There was a politics that took place in the heavens, and the effect and the outcome of that politics manifested on the earth. So the earth was in darkness, and the only way God could establish his government, the only way God could bring his civilization into the face of the earth, was by the infrastructure of God's power. So when a man trivializes power, that man is already in the way of destruction. Do you now see that power is not falling down in a meeting? Power is actually the ability to establish the rulership of God. Power is the ability to establish the dominion of God. Power is the ability to establish the government of God. Because the first time power was manifested to restore order. You know, there were a few people that had the privilege of going to the beginning in scriptures. There were very few people. Moses went to the beginning. John went to the beginning. Paul went to the beginning. And a few other prophets, at least the things they wrote, revealed that they saw the beginning. What was captured in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2 was also captured in Jeremiah chapter 4 verse 20. So Jeremiah also saw the beginning. So there are a few people that looked into the beginning. They had access to the beginning. And the people that saw the beginning, they have the privilege of understanding the civilization of God. They saw God in his original state. So when Moses said, in the beginning, God, first he was not describing the things God could do. He was describing the personality called God. But Moses decided to show us one of the dimensions of God, and he showed us the creative dimension. But before the creative dimension began, he said, God. Are we together? God. That means he saw into the civilization of God. And it's important for us to understand that when we say God, we are not first of all talking about a creator. Because before God began to create, he was God. When we say God, we are not first of all talking about a father. Because before God began to bring forth, he was God. When we say God, you know, I'm going to teach about the glory of God on the last day. That's when I will talk about God. But I'm just trying to establish a coordinate. So be patient with me. I will talk about the glory of God. So we will trust God to help us understand who he is. So when Moses said God, he wasn't talking about the things God do. He was talking about a person. And when you look at that being called God, you will discover that God is a being. He's a person. And God is also a civilization. He's a being because, of course, you know, we are created in his image and in his likeness. But God is a civilization because before God began everything, anything at all, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit existed in a community. So God is a civilization. So before God began creation, there was a government, a community, a reality going on among that civilization, that entity, that being, that community. Something was happening there. There was a way the Father, the Son, and the Spirit coexisted together in harmony. And when that civilization was taking place, there was no chaos. So in the community of God, you don't need power. Because there was perfect understanding, there was perfect harmony. And you will see that in Genesis 1:26. He said, let us make man. And when he said it, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit all agreed. So there is no need, there was no contention. So you didn't need any form of struggle. What the Father is thinking is what the Son is thinking. What the Son is thinking is what the Spirit is thinking. And what the Father is saying is what the Spirit is saying. What the Spirit is saying is what the Son is saying. So there was perfect harmony. So in that community, there was a wisdom that powered them that you cannot fully understand. In that community, they had their own will. Because the 24 elders told us, all things were created for thy pleasure. So before they began creation, they communed with themselves and they came to an understanding. Let us extend this, our community, and have other entities that look like us, that will worship us. So they had their own will. And they also had their own purpose. So every time God is in operation, the jealousy of God is invested to ensure that his purpose comes to pass. So the community of the Godhead that existed before time began is a community that is ruled by the wisdom of God, the will of God, and the purpose of God. And there was no contention whatsoever in that community until God began the project of creation. And Moses said, God created the heavens and the earth. And what God expected was that the harmony that existed between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit should be imparted into creation. And creation should continue like that. And that was what governed the heavens until a politics took place in the heaven. All of a sudden, a being called Lucifer, the son of the morning, decided to violate the perfect harmony that existed between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And he said he would exalt his throne. He has begun to break order. He has made a choice of violating order. He was not satisfied with where he was placed in the cadres of the divine structure. He wanted to exalt his throne beyond where God kept him. So what he did was that he trivialized the wisdom of God. He made a statement in the spirit that the wisdom of God was not correct. So when he looked upon himself and he saw his brightness, he perceived for a second that he's not supposed to be where he is. So he wanted to be above the angelic rank. So what he said unconsciously was that the wisdom of God is not enough. That God is not so wise. So I want to participate in the community of the Godhead and teach them wisdom, because their wisdom is not good enough. Because when I check the structure of the spirit realm, I'm not supposed to be where I am. So he was saying he was wiser than God. And then he said he was going to exalt his throne. So what he wanted to do was to violate order in the realm of God. And when you violate order, you have tampered with the will of God. He wanted to exalt his throne and be above the stars of God. And when he imagined that in his heart, he didn't know that what he wanted to do was not just in creation. Because creation came out of a community and a civilization in God. Creation was a mirror image of what was happening between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Creation did not just appear. Creation is actually an effulgence of that which existed before time. It was the harmony that existed between the Godhead that he decided to put on the landscape. So when you want to violate the structure of what is on ground, what you do not know is that you want to violate the structure of what existed being in the Godhead. And when he violated that structure, he was obliterated, he was exonerated and removed from that context, and he was cast away from the realm of God. But unfortunately, he was cast into the earth. And he said, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for the great deceiver has come. And the reason is, it will be too deep far. Let me not go there. But it was the visitation of that creature to the earth realm that brought chaos to the earth. So the moment he came, that which he was not permitted to do in heaven. And you need to understand that the reason he was not able to do that in heaven was because there were other creatures of power in Zion. So Michael showed up and said, the Lord rebuke you. And because Michael came with a power that he could not challenge, he was shifted from the realm of God. If not because power was manifested, he would have introduced that his rebellion in the God context. And if the God context is violated, nothing else will work. But a creature of power showed up and said, the Lord rebuke you. And the moment power showed up, he was immobilized. And he was cast from the mountains of God. And when he showed up in the earth, there was no authority that could challenge him. And because he saw that there was no authority that could challenge him on the face of the earth, he began to establish the dark government that he had in his heart. That which he wanted to do in heaven, that there was no allowance for him, he decided to express this on the face of the earth. And because God did not have a worthy representative of earth, God himself had to show up. And when God entered into the earth, what God said, when he said, let there be light, he was not just saying light appear in darkness. He was actually shutting down the administrative headquarters of the devil.
You know, you will look at that scripture casually. The reason is because when men walk, they labor, they carry goods and they carry things on their shoulder. But when God is walking, he's talking. A man walks by carrying things, but when a God is walking, he's talking. So when God is talking, so much is happening. That's why when the last time God told you, I will make you, you took it for granted. You didn't know that in that word, the labor of your shape, the labor of your prosperity, the labor of your actualization in time was captured in that utterance. Because when a God walks, he talks. And when God said, let there be light, what he was doing was that he was establishing a new government and a new dominion that shut down the headquarters of the devil. Instantly, the envelope of the new earth that was created, the devil was exonerated from it. That was when God brought man into the contest. And he gave man that power, that authority that he used to shift the devil away from the universe. He handed that authority to man. And he said, watch over this system. But the man took it for granted. Like God came and told you, serve me and I will make you. And you thought serve me was story. He took it for granted. So when there is no power, the government of God will never find expression. We don't advance kingdom by telling stories. A good message cannot advance the kingdom of God. The only ingredient that can establish the dominion of God is power. There are many dimensions in God. And as we look at the glory of God, you will see it. There's a dimension in God called holiness. The holiness of God is the essence of God. The holiness of God is not just it's not that God is without sin. No. That's purity. When we talk about holiness, holiness is actually the verdict of a survey that has been carried out by creation. And when they carried out the survey, they discovered that every other thing they see in creation, God is in his own class. So in creation, the purest form of love you will see is the love between a mother and a child. But you see, when you compare that love to the love of God, it's called wickedness. So he said, as wicked as your earthly parents are. Now when you look at your mother, you say, my mother can die for me. My mother have loved me all my life. How can you? It means the love of your mother compared to the love of God is wickedness. It is this, on the strength of that comparison, that the love of God is called holiness. So when you consider love in the context of God, his own love is in a different class. So when the angels looked at the love that existed in creation and compared it to the love of the Father, they now said, you are holy. Now when you look among men, somebody can be so generous that he gives himself to be burned. And then when you check his love and you compare it to the love of God, you now discover that thing that man calls love compared to God is selfishness. So when you look at the sacrifice of the man compared to the sacrifice of God, you will now say holy. Because there is no basis of comparison. So when the survey was carried out and it was concluded that there was nothing about God that could be compared to creation, the angels now called him holy. So holiness is not necessarily purity. It's part of it. Holiness is actually a testimony that God is in a class of his own. There is none like him. So everything compared to God is nothing. That is why he's the one that sustains all things. So that's a dimension in God. And there are several other dimensions like that in God. But the dimension I want to consider tonight is the dimension of God. And what is the prime thing about the power of God? It is the ability to establish his government. Because without power, the devil will rule. Without power, the devil will win. You don't advise demons. You cast them out. When somebody is fornicating, there is no advice in this world you will give the person that the person will stop. The reason is because that person has become bound by a power. And if your utterances does not carry the ingredients of power, at best, because the person respects you, the person will begin to do it in hiding. The only way you can pull down the installation
sons of darkness that have made a slave of that person is to bring power. If we go about advising our world, it will change nothing. The Bible said Jesus was the light. He was called in John chapter 1. He said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. See, I don't want to go explosive yet. I want to establish some foundation. You know, because you are used to the explosive thing. When we go there, but wait first. Let's understand what we are doing. So we don't come to church and fall down, go back and say the service was powerful. Because if you fall down in church, you go back and people are still dying in your family, it means you are a legal advisor. You are not a man of power. Because the death will continue until power comes. You know, when I say we should celebrate grace, you didn't know what I meant. That a man comes to Zaria many years ago when there were no Christians and they've not killed him is a wonder. His power. So you may not come and say, move, move. But that he survived here for more than 40 years is power. You don't advise them. I'm showing you, I say power is the ability to establish government. You may see a lot of young ministers now and people are falling everywhere. You think they are more powerful. If you knew the gods that were challenged for Christianity to rise in this territory, you will understand where true power finds expression. And if I tell you about the seven layers of power, you will discover that what we see every day is the least. And I will mention it as I move forward. Without power, government can never be expressed. The reason you see yourself struggling with the addiction, you cry, and yet you come back, is because you are thinking that you are doing it because you like it. You don't know you have become a slave. You liked it until you became addicted. When you became addicted, a demon has become a gatekeeper of your soul. And until power is introduced, you will cry like that many seasons until you grow old. There are many people that fornicate around. They think when they get married, they will stop. It's when they get married that they become more professional, because now they know how to dodge their wives. And they can, more demons are added. A lying spirit is added. A deceptive spirit is added. So he knows what to do to keep the wife in oblivion. At first, it was only a spirit of fornication. Now, lying spirit, manipulative spirit, all other spirits have come. So he can do it and keep the wife in oblivion for many years. So you will now realize that the power to stay pure is a power. So when we discuss the subject of power, we are actually talking about government. Because the devil cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He said, but I am come that you may have life and life to the full. The reason is because if power doesn't come, you will live in the realm of death. The only thing that can snatch you from death into life is an authority. Let there be light. When he showed up, he didn't find out how many demons are on earth. It's not necessary. When he showed up, he didn't find out what are the strategies the devil has put in motion. It wasn't necessary. When he showed up, he didn't find out the location they were standing. Let there be light. And instantly, he said, light appeared. From where did the light come? Even the light was held bound by darkness. Because he said, he's the one that commanded the light to shine forth from darkness. So when it doesn't come, you will see a prophet living in a brothel, carrying light that should deliver a generation. But that light will be held in captivity. When power doesn't come, you will see a prophetess walking with bomb shot everywhere. And every night is standing on the street. Because the light will be held in darkness. It's a manipulation of the demonic realm. And the only way the divide between light and darkness can be established is when power is introduced to the equation. Let there be light. There's no Christianity without power. Without power, Christianity will be a joke. God didn't send men to go and advise their world. He sent us to colonize the world. And no form of colonization is by advice. When you come to a territory to colonize that territory, you are coming by an authority to stop that which was and to introduce what you are bringing. It is a power reality. When God finds one man of power, he is more useful than 10 men without power. So we'll talk about the power of God before we talk about the glory of God. Let there be light. And there was light. You see, when Jesus was about to leave the world, he knew the people had learned everything he taught them. But he also knew their learning will count for nothing. So he said, tarry in Jerusalem. Don't run out and say, I know the scripture. I know you have heard me preach many times. He said, but tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power. Tarry in Jerusalem. I know you have followed me. I know you can talk like me. I know you dress like me. Remember, when they came to arrest Jesus, they couldn't recognize who was Jesus. So Judas had to kiss him. So the people had walked with him until they all resemble him. But don't go to the world by resemblance. He said, tarry until you are endued with power. Tarry. If you carry resemblance, you will die. I know the beings that are bringing a contrary government. They are vicious. They are heartless. They are terrible. Don't go out because you are excited. Because in the face of crisis and turbulence, your excitement will vanish. He said, tarry until you are endued with power. You know, many people today, we hear a lot of good messages. And because we are in grace with a lot of giftings, we just jump out and we are talking depths that we've not experienced. And because our day is not like the days of the fathers, where you have to grow through the ranks. You can just come on Facebook, do some publicity stunts, and you have 20,000 followers. And then you can just preach messages, intelligent messages, and they are everywhere. And we even get so audacious that you will come and say, this thing this father said is wrong. Meanwhile, you have never traveled to Maiduguri to pioneer a cell. Because we reduce kingdom to oratory. Tarry until you are endued. Because Jesus knew that the lectures he has given to them will profit nothing until power comes. You know, when we say glory and power conference, there are two very significant ingredients that a believer needs to advance kingdom. If he left without giving them power, there will be crisis. So, he didn't journey until something happened. And the Bible said in Matthew 28 verse 18 to 20, he said Jesus came to them and he said, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He said, therefore, go in that power and disciple all nations. He didn't say all the mysteries in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Because when we study one or two mysteries, we go to disciple the world. He didn't say all the wisdom about business, wisdom about this has been given to me. No, he said all power in heaven and on earth have been given to me. He said, therefore, go in that power, and then you can disciple all nations. If that power doesn't come, then everything you know is useless. And this is not to raise the bar for power beyond what we learn. Because Jesus had to live for 30 years to learn character before he received power. But I'm not majoring on character tonight. So I want you to understand me. The Bible said Jesus was 30 before he was baptized. And when he was baptized, he went into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Matthew 4:1, Luke 4:1 to 14. And then in verse 14, he said he returned in the power of the Spirit. So it took him 40 days to tap into the power of the Spirit. But it took him 30 years to learn character. So I'm not trivializing learning. I'm not trivializing character. But I'm saying, in addition to all you have learned, he said, tarry until you are endued with power. And he said, now when you have power, in addition to all you have learned, go into all the world and disciple the nations. Are you stepping out without power? That's why today we motivate people to do spiritual things. Today we try to. In the days of the fathers, when somebody gives his heart to Christ, it's a genuine encounter. You will see people give their heart to Christ, they become enemies of their families. And they follow God, and when most of them speak, they will tell you, it's been 30 years now. It's been 35 years now. But our own salvation is manipulated, because our messages are also sensual messages. We look at people, we tell them what they want to hear. And in that height of excitement and euphoria, they just say, okay, they'll follow Jesus. And after 1 week, they fall by the wayside. But in the days of the fathers, people give their heart to Christ and they follow. Some leave their family. They travel forever, never turning back. And the messages are not so sensual. They are not even sweet to hear. Somebody just comes and says, Jesus is coming soon, repent. But Jesus is coming soon, repent. The power that he carries. Even if you left that meeting, you will not be able to sleep in your house. They will come back and say, tell me that thing you said again. Do you mean Jesus is coming soon? Meanwhile, we polish our messages with all the exegetical intelligence, all the coinages and phrases of lingo and grammar. Yet, when you go to the campuses, you will discover that our sons and daughters that come to church, they are something else when they are away from their parents. Because the power ingredient is not there. Refuse to be an eloquent speaker. Be a man of power. Only appreciate eloquence when power has come. If power has not come, you have nothing to offer your generation. Forget the show in meetings. When you want to see the effect of what we do, church society. Because the people we disciple, it's not in church we see their character. It's in society. Refuse to be swayed by the number of people that run around you. Jesus was discerning enough. When they came to him the next day, he said, you came because I fed you with bread. He knows what matters. And this is why Jesus on earth embarked on the journey of power. The time came, he had public validation. The Holy Ghost came upon him and said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Today, if your father in the Lord as much as snap picture with you, you put it on Facebook and you become an apostle. Because you went for a meeting and you passed through and daddy prayed and laid hands on you. The picture is your DP. And on the strength of that picture, you have received validation to be a prophet. And then you go everywhere, you begin to prophesy. Jesus had public validation. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Yet, he went into the wilderness. Until the Bible said he returned in the power of the Spirit. The moment he came, even the demons knew. Because he had been coming to the synagogue time and time again. But this time when he showed up, the Bible said, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. Is that the day Jesus was born? No. John chapter 1 verse 1 said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Four credentials. One, he was God. Two, he was with God in the beginning, and all things was made by him. Three, he was life. Four, he was the light of the world. Yet, no ministry for 30 years until power came. He was walking in Zebulun. He was walking in Naphtali. He was never called the light. Because the manifestation is a function of the power that he carried. At the age of 12, he went to the synagogue. And when he spoke, he asked the doctors of the law questions. They couldn't answer. He answered it himself. Yet, ministry had not started until power came. So it was, there was no scarcity of messages. There was no scarcity of wisdom, but he waited to receive the ingredient for establishing government. Today we come to church, we do a lot of bogus talking, but in the face of challenge and crisis, our voices go down. And when we want to do power, we say, play keyboard, play it loud, do this, and we do all kinds of masquerading in church. Because we are not even sure whether the thing is there. We will not take the world because we are many. We will take the world because we are strong. And I'm not talking about preachers. I'm talking about believers. Because power is an inheritance of everyone. There are four kinds of power that we carry as New Testament believers. I know you've heard it before. You know, I told myself the other time, I said, this preaching that we preach nowadays, we just have to preach. Because everything you want to say has been said. And it's not like the days of old where you will save all your money and buy three books and read it for 1 year. Now the information is littered everywhere. You can use 10 MBN and get 1,000 books. So, you want to teach something, everybody knows it. And, you know, that's why nowadays, sometimes we try to make even simple things mystical. Because, but the power is not in how mystical it sounds. If the power is there, it's there. There are four words for power. The first is exousia, and that's authority, and I will explain. The second is dunamis. The third is iskus, and the fourth is kratos. Now, of these four words for power, three have to do with energy, and one have to do with authority. Exousia is a positional power. It's like the power conferred on the governor or the chairman, as the case may be. It is tied to status. It is tied to the position that you occupy. So, exousia was given to you the day you gave your heart to Christ. And I'll explain it. You know, in Luke 10:19, when Jesus sent them out, the Bible said he gave them power. He gave them exousia. He gave them authority over every negative power. So these guys were babes. They were not mature. Because Jesus in his own words said, I give thanks to you, O Father, that you have not revealed this to the prudent and the wise, but to babes. So these guys were babes. But exousia was conferred upon them on the ground of their status with Christ. So the way you enter into exousia is to be born again. So in John chapter 1 verse 12, he said, he came unto his own, but his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. So it is even exousia that qualifies you to become the Son of God. He gave them power. He gave them authority. So it is in the premise of authority that you can exercise your right as the Son of God. You see that? So that dimension of power is not a power you labor to enter. However, you need to grow in it. Because the degree to which you can exercise exousia is the degree of your alignment with the authority, with the laws. So, for example, a military officer, or let me use a traffic warden. That's the popular example and illustration. A traffic warden in his uniform can just lift his hand and the whole car will stop. But that same man, if he removes that uniform and he lifts his hand, he will be crushed. So the power has nothing to do with whether he ate or he didn't eat. The power had everything to do with his alignment with the authorities. So the moment a man is positionally aligned, he can exercise exousia. And every born-again Christian was given exousia. And it was on the strength of exousia that you are called the Son of God. That you are called the children of God. So we all carry exousia in different measures. So to grow in exousia, you have to be also positionally seated with Christ in heavenly places. So when a man begins to grow in exousia, that means increasing his alignment with God, he will discover that his authority becomes stronger and stronger. So it has nothing to do with an impartation service. Even if you come for an impartation service, you fall on the ground and you are on the floor for 4 hours, you will not grow in exousia. You will grow in exousia to the degree that you are positionally aligned with Christ. So every time you fall into sin, what you have done is that you have robbed yourself the authority to exhibit exousia. So it is beyond the service, it's a life. Many people come to church, they touch the shoe of the man of God. They carry his handkerchief and they idolize the handkerchief. And they assume that because they carry the handkerchief and idolize the handkerchief, they will begin to move in power. The next time they confront the demon slaps them. And they are wondering, what is happening? Why? When the man of God preached and the power of God moved, they heap around the car. They are trying to touch his head. They are trying to touch his leg. You will not grow in authority by touching. You will grow in authority by alignment. And every time you violate alignment, you will discover that you will lack the authority to exercise authority and dominion. You will lack authority to advance kingdom. So the devil, if he wants to steal from your family, if he wants to kill from your family, if he wants to destroy for your family, all he needs to do is to come and make you fornicate. And then after you fornicate, you come to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. He will forgive you. Because forgiveness is in the blood. But the problem is that when the devil comes strolling in your family, you will not have authority to say stop. Even if you scream, let there be light, light will not be. Because the reason is that whoever you yield yourself servant to obey, the servant of him you are, whom you have obeyed, that time you are lying to the devil. You deliberately relinquish your authority. And so when you need that authority again, you will not find it. That is what happened to Cain. The Bible said he was profane. So he gave up his birthright. When he sought it with tears, he could no longer find it. And he lost the blessing. So every time you fraternize with the devil, you do it at the expense of exousia. And when exousia is lost, dominion is lost. Government is lost. And all of a sudden, you can discover that people just die at will. And you are wondering what is happening. You will do vigil for 30 days. The person will still die. Because you don't cast out demons by vigils. You cast out demons by authority. You don't stop the devil just by vigils. I will tell you the role of vigil. But when authority is lacking, you put yourself at the mercy of the devil. And many believers don't know that disalignment is actually suicide in the spirit. Because spiritual things have different definitions. For example, the love of God is not to cry and say, God, I love you. The love of God is obedience. Suicide in the spirit is disalignment. Because your safety in this kingdom is the authority with which you are guarded with. And every time you give up your authority, you have committed suicide. You are just waiting to die. And the devil will keep you for the evil day so that he can use your family to do a show. The same way we manifest God and our life is like a theater through which God reveals his dimension. That's how people who are disaligned open up their lives to become theaters through which the devil manifests his will. He said, the devil cometh not but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I am come. The way he has come is by the authority he has given to you. And every time you violate law and order in the spirit, every time you disalign from God, what you did was you relinquish your authority. You become helpless. On the mount of temptation, the devil said to Jesus, he said, bow down to me and I will give you the glory of the world, for it has been delivered to me. Jesus could not challenge him, because Adam actually handed that authority by rebellion. This is why most times you see Christians going through issues and then you are wondering, God, where are you? It's not God, where are you? God was invested in the authority he gave, but the man trivialized the authority. And the same way the devil spoke and even God could not challenge him, because Adam actually gave away that authority. That is what the devil is seeing in the lives of many people. And then you are wondering, you think certain Christians are favored. You think certain Christians are God relates with them special. No. They know what they guard. The moment the hair of Samson was barbed, was shaved and cut off, he became a slave. Because he has violated the demand, the consecration that the authority rests on. Every man of authority has a consecration that powers it. The fuel for authority is the consecration requirement. And every time you see believers violating it, they don't know the power. And then we come for meetings, we fall on the ground. When they say, oh, God is anointing somebody. Only you who be praised. Only you who be praised. Only you will be praised. Only you will be praised. Over my life, oh Yahweh. Over my life, oh Yahweh. Only you will be praised. 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 Yahweh, you will be praised. Yahweh, you will be praised. Oh. Yahweh, you will be praised. 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 Oh. Yahweh, you will be praised. Yahweh, you will be praised. You know why I'm singing the song I'm singing? Somebody is realigning with God. And is telling God, you are traveling back to where you fell. And you are realigning. And as you are telling God, oh God, I realign. You will see that the atmosphere around you is changing. Because I'm seeing the hand of God come upon someone. You are realigning. Because right now, some people have left the hall. I'm talking now, but you have gone back to where you fell. And you are repenting. You are repenting. Because every time we repent, it's not just about forgiveness of sin. We stand up from where we fell. We turn our backs and we say, go to hell, Satan. And we journey with God. So somebody is repenting. And as you are doing it, the hand of God, the hand. Hey. Hadok! Elole! Asevayana! Maraka! Abotakadea! Obeloe! Evovone! Vaka! Eli! Vacasina Tava.
I not give up my authority by reason of pleasure? Because there is a kingdom I must advance. Maria Vanosa Baka. Yabai Keto Banaka. Wield your sword in the spirit. In the name of Jesus, please sit down. Many lost grounds will be reclaimed tonight. Many lost grounds. We know a lot of messages. We know a lot of scriptures. We know a lot of mysteries. But our lives are porous. So with all the mysteries, with all the scriptures, no authority. I know what I'm telling you firsthand. I know it. So when I come for a power conference, my goal is not exegesis. I come to tell people, go back and lock the door. You have opened the door to an alien. And that alien will kill you. Many people died in my family that I should have kept. But my priesthood was porous. Because I left many gates opened. It's beyond impartation. It's a life. It's a life. Do you know what the name of Jesus is? In Colossians 2:14, see, these things were prepared. These are ready armors prepared and handed over, but we can't wield them. It's a having spoiled principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. So, principalities and powers were disarmed, and the seal, the proof that we have the authority over disarmed princes is the name of Jesus. How come the name of Jesus is powerless on our lips? In the realm of the spirit, it's a wonder that a believer calls the name of Jesus and nothing happens. It's a wonder. They wonder how. Why? Because these creatures, these beings were disarmed. The seal and the proof that they were disarmed was the name given to us. It's just like you have a key to the door. You are opening the door, it's not opening. It's a wonder. How come you call the name of Jesus, nothing happens? Because of disalignment. Because of disalignment. That's why authority is no longer part of our reality. The things we should command are the things we beg for. He said, where the word of the king is, there is power. Who can say unto him, what doest thou? Yet kings are begging. It's an abomination on the face of the earth. That princes are trekking while servants are riding on horses. Because we've lost our authority. And we brag in titles. We brag in earthly and mundane things. We should weep. When you call the name of Jesus and nothing happens, you should weep. Because it's an alarm in the spirit that something is wrong. When you do the things that work and nothing happens, you should weep. Because those things are alarms in the spirit that something is wrong. Power is government. There are seven realms of power in the spirit.
The first realm of power is the ability to cast out devils. And the reason is because casting out demons is predicated on the finished works of Christ. So Jesus paid that price. Principalities were disarmed. But in the first realm of power, we fail. And we love excitement and emotion. And we think emotion is power. The second realm of power is the ability to cause creation to conform to the will of God. Because creation is in bondage, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Children can cast out demons, but only son can bring creation under the government of God. So the ability to regulate creation is superior to casting out demons. The third realm of power is the ability to tame the flesh. Because a man that can take a city is not as strong as the man that has rule over his tongue. The power to rule over the flesh. He said that I may not be a castaway. I beat my body and bring it under subjection. That is power in the realm of the spirit. I am not controlled. I'm not regulated. I can bring the impulses of my system under the government of God. So I sleep when I should. I don't sleep when I want to. He says, sin shall no longer have dominion over me. That means he can command his elements. People don't fall because there is temptation. People fall because they have no power over themselves. Jesus was tempted at all points, yet he was without sin. So it's not temptation that makes men sin. It's the lack of power to keep the system. The fourth realm of power is hunger for the presence. When a man is hungry for God, it's a sign that he's healthy in the spirit. You see, as the deer panted after the water brooks, so my soul longed after thee in a dry and in a thirsty land where no water is. There are certain people that become so rusty. Even when the presence of God is moving, they are less concerned. They can't perceive the vibrations of God. They can no longer sense the atmosphere of heaven. You need to persuade them before they can understand. But men of power, even if people have prayed here, if they pass here after 2 hours, they know. They know the difference in energy level. They can tell you, this is a hallowed ground. I know. Because I have so much hunger for God that, you know, the deer can sense water 200 miles away. And the more, as the deer is panting for water, that vibration, that is what shifts principalities from their realm. A man comes into a territory, as he's panting after God, he can bring God on the scene. That is power. Nothing moves him. Day by day, night on his bed. When people go to sleep, he can no longer sleep. And when the deer is panting like that, that's what makes the horn grow. And the horn of the deer is seven. It represents the seven government of heaven. The government of the Lord. The government of the fear of the Lord. The government of wisdom. The government of knowledge. The government of might. That's the horn of the deer. When the deer pants for God, as he pants for the waters, the horn is growing. And when the horn grows, that becomes an envoy. When a man who has tamed the flesh enters a territory, even the princes know. Because when they come, they check you. Not what you are doing. He said, the prince of this world cometh to me and findeth nothing. The only thing I carry is hunger. It's hunger. It's hunger for God. That's power. When you go to heaven, people don't die. So raising the dead is no longer an act. When you go to heaven, people are not sick. What then is power in heaven? He said, the 24 elders, day and night, they fell on their faces and they say, holy, holy, holy. That's hunger. They never have enough. He said, the four living creatures, day and night, forever and ever, they worship forever and ever, day and night. There is so much hunger, they can't rest.
they can't rest. They press into God until God mantles them and they flesh God on their body. So when they come out, you see God. When they talk, you see God. Everything about them become an effulgence of Elohim. That is power in the realm of God. The fifth realm of power is humility. That's a state a man gets to. Nothing moves him anymore. So you can't find pride in him. Even if the dead rises up, that's nothing. For him is to stand in the presence. And because he knows God is his first audience, he's careful. The sixth realm of power is brokenness. And the seventh realm of power is love. When you find a man of authority, these are the cadres he climbs in the spirit. He has left the realm of casting demons. He journeys into the realm of bringing creation under subjection to the government of God. He journeys into the realm of taming the flesh. He enters the realm of humility. He enters the realm of humility. He enters the realm of brokenness until he becomes a man of love. Love is the nature of God. So that man becomes indeed a representative of God. He's not a preacher. He's a witness. There's a difference between a preacher and a witness. A preacher can preach Bible, but a witness reveals God to a generation. He can do it by preaching. He can do it by teaching. But by all means, he shows God to a generation. That's power. These are the things that makes for authority. And when a man ascends this cadres, there's nothing the devil can do to him. You can't find anything. You have seen a man who is a danger to the demonic realm. Exousia. That's how we advance kingdom. But today we don't grow in authority. The first measure of authority has given to us as believers. Even that one, we lose it. The worst part, when you come to church, it's all about materialism. And we assume somebody is growing because he has the testimony of a car. So what do you say about Dangote? What do you say about Carlos Slim? What do you say about Warren Buffett? We evaluate growth and power in the kingdom by the things the men who don't have God have in abundance. This exousia, this is the realm of exousia. A man comes to a place where the devil finds nothing in him. So when that man comes, he's a visible expression of the government of God. That's the realm Jesus walked in. A visible expression of the government of God. The other dimensions of power are the powers that work within you. That's the ability to create changes. Dunamis, iskus, kratos. That power can create change so much so that it can even change death to life. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 17 to 19. Project it for me. Paul was praying for the church. He said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding, I don't want to talk about all of that because that's not my point, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. And then he gave us three things. The last is power. The hope of his calling. And what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And then the third thing is where he talks about power. And what is the exceeding greatness of his dynamis in us world who believe according to the energy of his iskus kratos. And what does this power do? He said this is the power he wrought when he raised Christ from the dead. It is an inherent power. The power that causes changes around the man's life. This is the power. dunamis, iskus, and kratos. How do you build this power? The way to build this power is what many of us, the devil has made it difficult for us to do. In Ephesians 3:20, he said, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all things you can ask for thing, according to the dynamics that is at work in you. How does the dynamics work? Many people don't understand power. So when they go to pray, they are timing themselves. I prayed for 3 hours. I prayed for 4 hours. If prayer is about conquering time, it's a waste. When we are praying, what we are doing, we are building power. And Luke 6:19, he said Jesus was walking into the city. And he said they touched him. And virtue went out of him and healed them all. It was an overflowing virtue. That's power. When a man goes to pray, he said in Matthew 17 verse 2, and as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. His raiment glistened. Something began to happen. He started provoking dynamics. So Jesus doesn't stop praying after 5 hours. Jesus doesn't stop praying after 10 hours. Jesus prays until dynamics overflows. That it may be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. Himself took away our infirmities, and by his stripes we were healed. And he said they brought many that were sick, and as much as touched him, virtue left him and healed them all. And the disciples lent it. And he said in Acts 5:15, as Peter and John left the place of prayer, they brought many that were maimed and sick and put them by the roadside. That his shadow. Jesus was doing it by touching men. Peter came and said, okay, so this thing they work, I will go higher. Is it by generating power? And they saw Jesus. Even on the last day, Jesus was praying. He said, how is it that you cannot tarry with me for 1 hour? How is it that you cannot tarry? Peter thought he was strong. Until when they accused him, you were with him. I'm not the one. I'm not with him. He now discovered that inherent power must be built. You don't have inherent power by clean clothes to daddy. No. You don't have inherent power. If you are not careful, when you are around him, because of his humility and simplicity, you may be dwarfed. Because they were with Jesus, they didn't carry inherent power. So the moment Jesus died, they knew. And that's why Jesus himself said, tarry until you are endued. Tarry. When they knew that power is generated, and power is in measures and in degrees, they started sleeping in the place of prayer. Mana, Zada, Voda, Kada, Rada, Ena, Baro, Ala, Zada, Ela. You start praying dynamis when you hit your limit. So your limit may be 5 hours. Dynamis have not started. That time you are working with ATP. So you ate enough and you are using that energy. So you have not tapped into dynamis. You tap into dynamics when you exhaust yourself. That time when it looks as if you can't go on, that's when you start touching another energy that is on your inside. And the men who don't stop, a point come. He said, even the spirit helpeth our infirmity. For we don't know what we should pray for as we ought to. You don't know the limit. You don't know the how. You don't know the why. You don't know the when. That's why he gave you the tongues of angels. Elelamana tavak, eparada kapode, atonaya, 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 awola, why? Yewore, apuata kazona. I'd rather be a prayer man than a preacher. I preach because I have prayed. If I don't pray, I'm not qualified to preach. Because when I come to change people's circumstance for good. Is there anybody here who wants to provoke dynamics? In other. Ibarabuada tate, eolo lobo, Apeda kayanda doala. Bebo kasina areta pando pataya. In the name of Jesus.
Listen. I would have shown you the three realms of dunamis. There's something called endunamo. There's something called elutero. There's something called metamorpho. If you are not praying, you are wasting. But tonight is not the night of manifestation. Just a minute. My emphasis is exousia. You are in a territory that is threatened. So we need men of authority. There are too many violations in the secret place. And the way the angels know, that's how the demons know. Some of you here have investment that is for your generation, but it can't manifest. It was in the place of prayer that I saw an eagle appeared bigger than a building, and the eagle carried me on the wings and moving from state to state, and all of a sudden doors began to open. I want to do another call. You know you are violated in too many places. No man has seen you, but you are not only doing business among men, you are doing business among spirits, and you cannot hide it from them. Tonight God wants to restore you to the realm of authority. Run out. And it's not, you know you are violated. It could be in your mouth, with your mouth. It could be in your secret deeds. I don't know what it is. But the sign that you are violated is that authority can walk in your life. Come out.
Time is a body. I am not persuading you, but whether your life will count depends on this decision. Because the princes will come. The Bible said the evil day, the devil will come. There's an appointment for every man. But if you faint in the day of trouble, your strength is little.
It's time to rededicate our lives. There are too many weak men in our ranks.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
In 1 minute, listen. I'm going to lead them in a prayer. And as they pray this prayer, the hand of God will start touching people. 1 minute. Stop playing the keyboard. It's not about sound, please. Stop playing. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. And you died for my sins. And you rose again from the dead. For my justification. I confess with my mouth, you are the Lord of my life. And therefore today, I rededicate myself to live under your government and for your will. Use me for your glory. 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 Holy Ghost, touch!
You were blessed by the message you just listened to and wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior. Kindly repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that He died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. If you just say this prayer, please send us an email on amodiscipleship@gmail.com or reach us on our website orocomichael.com to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege to disciple you. God bless you.